Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
365 days ago, Dr. Disrespect was banned off Twitch.
My God. And Grace, why was he banned off Twitch? What's going on, guys? And welcome back to Watch Time, your weekly dive into the internet and everything influencer. My name is Elliot, aka Muzok. I am a YouTuber with 9.5, no, not 10 million subscribers. And I'm here with my sister Grace, who is CEO of Click Management, which is a talent management agency that runs some of the biggest YouTubers in the country and the world.
Dude, it feels like it's been ages since I've seen you. We have been in lockdown.
It has. It's been lockdown. And it's actually only been, I think, what, 4 or 5 days since you saw me? But
Ben, we had dinner together on Friday night. We had the Last Supper, and it's Wednesday now. So
the last ramen, I believe it was.
I literally haven't left the house since.
Yeah. See, Sydney's just gone back into lockdown, where basically, for those who are unaware, we've talked about it on the podcast before, Australia's done a good job of getting coronavirus under control. We effectively completely eradicated it, have majority of the time been at zero cases a day, like for almost every day, but then probably once every 2 months, because we still have people flying into the country who are Australians returning from overseas.
Yeah.
And probably once every 2 months, a case escapes hotel quarantine and gets into the community. And then we go up to a few cases a day, and then it normally goes away after about a week. But this time, a case of that nasty little Delta variant managed to get out. And
It
hasn't gone away. It went up to, we've been sitting at about 20 cases a day. So normally when it gets out, we kind of don't even have to go into a lockdown.
No.
But this time, it's the more infectious version. It got up to about 20 cases a day, and they're like, okay, no, we're locking down for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So everyone's staying home.
So we've been in lockdown for like 5 days. We came in. There's no one else in the office right now, basically. We came in especially to record the podcast. So you're welcome.
Yeah. And
it's kind of like, in a way, it's kind of good. I feel like I've been so productive.
I actually said when we went into lockdown, I was kind of like,
I'm ready for a little 2 weeks.
I was like, I'm down for this. I'm like, 2 weeks of no obligation to socialize, no excuse to do anything other than be productive. I've been streaming more, recording more,
saving money,
like
drinking less. I've been exercising a shit ton.
Yeah. Long story short, lockdown is,
we're thriving.
Lockdown in short bursts, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want multiple months, but a 2 week lockdown is kind of like a little 2 week detox.
I'm gonna take you back 365 days from now, and this is gonna be our first little topic for today.
And not even really a topic. We don't really have anything in depth to comment on this, other than making sure that people don't forget that this is a thing.
365 days ago, Dr. Disrespect was banned off Twitch.
My God. And Grace, why was he banned off Twitch? Could you just tell me? I mean, it's been a year. Dude, it's the internet. Everything leaks on the internet. There's not a single thing on the internet.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Sometimes I will randomly wake up in the middle of the night and be like, I still don't know.
You know why we don't know? Do you know the real reason?
Why?
Because of coronavirus.
Coronavirus.
Because normally around this time, which is when, or all throughout the year, there are big gaming events happening and parties and Twitch execs and other gamers all going to these parties and getting absolutely wasted on tequila. And then some of the parties are like, oh, bro, so that little disrespect thing. And then they're like, oh, you know, I've had a few tequilas. I guess I could just tell you, just don't tell anyone.
And
that spreads like wildfire. But everyone's been in lockdown, so no one's been getting drunk with the Twitch execs. No one's been partying. No one's been letting it slip. And because of that, we don't know.
If I took us back 365 days to the Watch Time episode that we did when he was banned, I wasn't even worried. I was like, I don't know, but I know I'll find out.
Like, literally, I was like, oh, it's annoying.
I was so confident.
I was like, it's annoying that we're going to have to wait an extra week or two for it to leak, but it will leak. Nope.
12 months.
12 months.
A year.
It's
four
disgusting.
Seasons have gone by.
It's
and
awful.
We still don't know.
It's truly
and
awful.
I don't even know anyone that does know.
No.
I don't even know anyone that's like, yeah, I do know, but I really yeah. can't. I'm like, and I feel as though, not to, you know, whatever, brag or whatever, but I feel as though we would know people that would know.
Yeah.
If they did.
Quite industry
yeah.
connected.
Yeah. And I just feel like if someone of that magnitude, the fact that we still don't is quite bizarre
yeah.
to me.
He's streaming on YouTube now and he's doing relatively well. Not quite as virally explosive
no.
as I believe he used to be.
And I feel like he's less in the social, you know what I mean? Like the pulse. Yeah, yeah. He's less there in the conversation.
There are also just like less games happening at the moment mm. that are kind of relevant, I guess. Yeah. I feel like no one is really in the conversation right now.
Yeah, no one's like
if you were to be like, name who's the big influencer at the moment. There are times where it's been Ninja. There's times where it's been Dr. Disrespect. Times where it's been Shroud pretty high up there. But at the moment, it's there really isn't anyone, you know? It's kind yeah. of like everyone's just kind of meandering.
Yeah.
Everyone's waiting.
And you know what's interesting? Is like, I just don't know what's next.
No, I don't think anyone does.
And it's really interesting, and maybe this is a interesting segue into our next topic, but just to finish it off with Dr. Disrespect, I would love to hear what everyone's current up-to-date theories are as to what happened. Has your theory updated at all since we last spoke?
My theory has not really updated, no.
And refresh us on what it is. I feel like I have no theory.
I actually don't. I had theories, but the longer time moves, the more I discount them. But I also, all I know, all I fundamentally believe is that Dr. Disrespect's thing saying Twitch still hasn't told me why they banned me, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, like that's such a ridiculous comment to make.
Yeah.
You're the biggest streamer claiming that you got banned off your platform and you never got told is just insane.
I feel like it therefore makes me think, I agree, he must know. And I think the circle of people that truly know is probably really small. And maybe it's just because him and maybe his management found out. And it's something he's ashamed of. Because if it was something that he thought was questionable as to whether or not he should have got banned, he could publicize that more. Like he's off the platform.
It's something that so much money is riding on that, for example, say he entertained a contract from another platform and broke his Twitch contract in bad faith and Twitch found out and spitefully banned him for it.
Mm.
And the other platform wouldn't, I don't know. Like, I think at the end of the day, the point is it's a year on. We still don't bloody know. Someone get drunk with a Twitch exec already and find out for us and then leak it to the internet.
Oh, the dream. The dream. I would just love to, I don't want to gossip, but like, I want to be in on it, you know?
I also want to know. I want to be in the room where it happens.
You know, I think that thing that you were talking about around like no one's really popping right now and like what is the next state of play kind of segues into our next topic. And I think it's really interesting. We're going to talk about Aussie Antics, who's one of the guys that we work with. He was this week banned from casting for Fortnite events. And I think, you know, I think Aussie is a brilliant creator. I think he's built an incredible community over a really short period of time.
So quick context for anyone who doesn't know, he's very big in the Fortnite competitive scene, not as much as a player, but as a caster. He effectively would cast tournaments on his Twitch channel. Very, very liked generally within the community. And also actually is one of the few creators who I would say really blew up in the later half of the Fortnite life cycle. Like really in Fortnite chapter one, Aussie wasn't that big at all. Really in Fortnite chapter two, which is when pretty much everyone was having a decline, is when Aussie really started to get traction and go up.
For full transparency, Click, my business also manages Aussie. I think he's an amazing creator. He's a real like, you know, I don't think he'd be mad at me for calling him like a dad of the community.
Yeah.
Super well respected, really well liked, very knowledgeable, and absolutely killing it on content.
He was casting the Fortnite Champion Series on the weekend. And I think it's very important, which was effectively a tournament that had like, it was kind of like an All-Stars Cup that they did for every region, like all the most famous quote-unquote players in each region. versing each other. And it's important to note, he was casting this on his own personal channel. Although a lot of the time Aussie will be one of the casters on the official Fortnite channel.
Yes.
But they weren't doing a cast for this tournament. So yeah. It was just on his own.
He often works for Epic, but this tournament, he wasn't working for Epic. It was just very much in his own personal capacity.
And during him casting this tournament, he had actually one of his very good friends who was in first place in the tournament. And then in, I believe, the final game, another player who was very, very low down on the leaderboard, like really not doing well, didn't really have a chance of winning any significant prize money, then decided to change where he was landing to land on top of the first place player and try to eliminate him, which he did. Now, this is actually relatively a common thing that happens in competitive, although it's very frowned upon. It's effectively griefing. And the motivation is different. Sometimes people just think it's funny if, you know, they've got no chance of winning anymore. So screw it. I'll try and mess up someone else's game. And especially the first place player.
Yeah.
Or a lot of the time it's like someone's friend might be in like second place and they'll kind of hint, hint, nudge, nudge their friend to go land on the person ahead of them to try and mess up their game. Long story short, it's generally, while technically not against the rules, considered a dick move.
Yes.
Because you're effectively just doing something to try and ruin someone else.
And like, fair, like it is a dick move.
It is a dick move. It's definitely a dick move.
It's not a great sportsmanship.
And for a lot of these players in competitive, like a lot of the players who play comp, they're not influencers, you know, they're not people with big YouTube channels. They're people where this prize money, I believe first place was like 20 grand USD. So 25 huge. Grand AUD. Life-changing money for a lot of these people who are 17, 18 years old.
Absolutely.
So having someone come and ruin that for them, and sure, they'll still get a bit of money, but not what they could have gotten, is like, that's an emotionally heavy hit.
Yeah.
And they did everything they could. And ultimately, if someone decides to grief you, it is kind of out of your control.
Yeah.
Effectively, what happened was this player landed, eliminated Aussie's friend who was in first place. And Aussie, while casting on his personal channel, proceeded to call the kid who landed on him a loser. Now, I do want to be balanced here because Aussie did, while technically only calling him a loser, really did go in on it. Like he went in on the wording of loser. He was like, God, you're such an effing loser. Like you're a God, you're a loser. You're going nowhere in life. Like, which very, I want to say, relatable sentiment. People who can only gain like enjoyment in their own life by ruining someone else's. I think you are like just a very sad human being. And that's where I will leave my commentary on that topic.
Yeah.
But really did go in on his description of what he thought of this person. But I think it is important to say that the crux of it all, as much as he did restate this sentiment multiple times and said he's going nowhere, was you're a loser.
Yeah.
Didn't really say anything overly aggressive. Then Aussie announced the next day that he has been removed from the official Fortnite broadcast team. Mm-hmm. So he won't be commentating any tournaments on the official Fortnite channel anymore.
I think this poses a few really interesting discussion points. I think, you know, want to clarify, love Aussie, think he's a great creator. Love Epic. Think the work they do with creators, tournaments, pros.
I love everyone involved in this situation.
And I've always respected that Epic has loved working with creators.
Yeah.
I think Epic, more than any developer ever, has recognized the value of putting a lot of special treatment and putting a lot of value on their creator community. They know that their creator community are their best organic marketing tool that they have. They are the people out there singing the praises of the game, promoting it to their audience, and also being really honest about their experiences. Yeah. They know creators, the inherent value of creators is that they have an incredible relationship with their audience. Their audience trusts them. Their audience is there to watch them and is there to support them and support whatever endeavors they're doing. Full stop. And I think all that said on how creators have that relationship with their audience is really important. I can also see it from the other perspective of, for Epic, they value that relationship, and that relationship is built through honesty, transparency, showing your real personality with your audience. And at the same time, they are making these casters or anyone that they work with in a creative capacity a real ambassador of the game. And beyond just saying, you know, the game is great, I guess they also need to uphold the values and the standards of what Fortnite is, what Epic is, and the way that they want the game and people to be perceived. I think it's also really interesting to think about the fact that, you know, if this was a casting gig that he was doing for Epic, my thoughts would be different. It was a casting gig he was doing in his personal channel, which is like his day job. So I'm quite torn. Like part of me can understand that Epic, you know, creators are more than just their channel. Like they really are putting themselves out there for the world. The internet doesn't forget things easily. Whatever you do in one capacity on one corner of the internet affects what you're doing everywhere. But at the same time, where do you kind of lean on creators who have built their audience and built their trust and built their reputation based on honesty and being transparent and real to themselves, to their audiences, and like get that muddled with the fact where they're feeling potentially like they can't say anything critical ever?
I think actually the part where I will say I understand from Epic's side is if there's one thing that they have always actually taken a very hard stance on when it comes to community behavior, and they have also made it clear throughout that it's not just your conduct when you're directly doing an Epic thing that they're willing to assess. True. It's everything.
Yep. People,
pros have tweeted stuff before and gotten penalized and banned.
And like, how do you feel about that? I kind of feel like that's the industry we live in right now. You're not just on when you're being paid by a particular brand. The brand is going to look at your whole persona.
I think at the end of the
online day,
and don't get me wrong, I'm not actually prescribing this to Aussie's situation. But I do think, because if anything, I think it was what Aussie was getting angry at. But I do think that the thing that has always been so bad, especially in competitive Fortnite, and also in almost every competitive game, is toxicity. Like gaming, professional gaming, you have these teenagers who are talking through keyboards, don't have that emotional maturity yet, and really a lot of the time will just literally like high school bullying type behavior. And at the end of the day.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I think that stamping that out and putting down a really firm kind of, you know, stance on that is really, really important and really, really good. So there's been pros before that have tweeted horrible things like wishing death on other players and making like racist comments. Mm. And Epic's come out and said, okay, cool. Yeah, you're banned. Bye.
Yeah.
Don't come back.
Yeah.
And I think that's good because I'm like, that's just not the kind of behavior that you want to associate with your community. Mm. And
Epic has always been so principled around bullying.
Yeah. And I do think that bullying is a really good stance to be principled on. Now, and this is the thing. This is why I can understand why they had to do what they did when it came to Aussie, is because as much as I believe almost every single competitive player and probably most people in the community hear what Aussie said and are like, absolutely yes, yeah, like so understandable and definitely like a very relatable sentiment. At the end of the day, it's one, like we've talked about this topic 1,000 times in 1,000 different contexts. Where do you draw the line? Like, here's the thing. You establish a rule. You can't bully other players. Mm. And at a certain point, you can't be like, oh, nah, but that bullying was like kind of justified though. Mm. Like that doesn't.
Because Aussie was getting annoyed about other toxicity in the game.
Yeah.
Like griefing is toxic behavior.
Yeah.
I think it's not good sportsmanship.
Yeah.
It's not in line with the spirit of the game or a competition.
And I think if he'd made a more objective, less personal comment, like, wow, I think that was a really like bad sportsmanship play. Like, I think that was a really, kind of disagree with griefing, like a really rude thing to do. And I think that's kind of sad behavior. And I wish that wasn't part of this community.
Mm.
I think that would be one thing. But I think as soon as there were comments like, you're going nowhere in life, you're an absolute loser, those more direct ones, I can understand why Epic was in this weird spot where they're kind of like, we have to categorize that as a direct personal attack. And that ultimately, if they were to then, and I think it's more just about the precedent, because then in the future, if there's like a player who bullies another player and Epic's like, okay, well, cool, you can't be in the tournaments anymore. Anyone could have pointed to what Aussie did and been like, one of your official casters said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So it's one of these annoying situations where I fully understand from Aussie why he said that. And I think most people would probably agree with what he said even. But I also fully understand from Epic's side why this was absolutely the call they had to make. It's the same as, and don't get me wrong, I don't put this purely, but I think it was another interesting time we covered this topic. I don't know if you remember when the Hong Kong riots were happening. And there was all the hashtag I stand with Hong Kong stuff going on. And there was a Hearthstone tournament happening. And one of the casters made a stand with Hong Kong comment and he was removed from the casting team. And Blizzard said, we're not going to work with you again. Everyone was angry at Blizzard because obviously the sentiment at that point was most people were in the Hong Kong, like wanting to support that movement. But ultimately, regardless of where Blizzard was on that topic, and as much as there might've been other motivations, I fully understand why they had to make that decision. Because if you just start letting your casters make political statements on your official broadcast with no penalty, then all of a sudden, like, you know, you can have someone come on and be like, Joe Biden for president. Oh, nah, Donald Trump, bro. Like all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And at a certain point, you need to, regardless of the motivation behind the action, say that this behavior isn't okay. And I think that as much as, like, for example, the I Stand With Hong Kong motivation, fantastic. Political statement on an official broadcast, yes, can't do that. Penalty.
I think it's also a really interesting development, and it kind of like was making me think deeper about the fact that we are in this industry that has been kind of a little bit of a Wild West. People can say whatever they want, but it's becoming more corporate and more commercial. And there's more eyeballs than ever on it. There's more advertising eyeballs than ever on it. And I think it's really interesting, you know, the way that you were like, well, maybe if he'd been a bit more measured and he'd said, you know, objectively, I don't really like griefing. I don't think griefing is sportsmanly, that sort of thing. It's like, yeah, okay. He might have, that might have gone down better from Epic's perspective. I'm like, but is that how people relate to creators?
No, exactly.
And I think, like, you know, if I'm an audience member, I'm not watching a creator because I want them to be politically branded correct all the time and objective and measured all the time. I love creators because they are opinionated and they'll say what I'm thinking and they'll say the things that, like, I'm not going to see on a traditional news broadcast. And that's why people love them.
And that's the trade-off every creator makes. And that's like, and you see everyone go in different directions. For example, Ninja didn't used to be as kid friendly and then realized that he had the potential to be a like huge brand associated creator and made the very conscious decision to make himself more friendly towards kids and profited hugely from that, but also then got flack from the community for dulling himself down. But exactly. I think at the end of the day, this topic is companies, when it comes to enforcing rules, they have to enforce them equally, regardless of like what the general vibe is behind them. So I fully understand Epic's position, fully understand Aussie calling out this person for what they did. I think if you wanted to be slightly more politically correct, could have done it differently, but also that's just that he made a conscious decision not to do that because that's not who he wants to be.
I think it's a really interesting thing from a creator perspective, deciding what kind of creator you want to be. Do you want to be super brand friendly, very safe, not say anything controversial ever, and therefore be able to have mass appeal, never be controversial, et cetera, et cetera? Or do you want to be super opinionated and say exactly what you think? And that's going to come with consequences. And maybe it means that you're not going to be a caster for a major game developer, but you've developed some sort of special relationship with your audience where they really value that you're transparent and you say it like it is and you say it how you're feeling. And I think a lot of people, that's exactly where they see the value of creators. I think it's, you know, there isn't a right or wrong. I just thought it was a really interesting discussion point to have because it kind of raises a lot of bigger considerations around, when are you on versus when are you off? I think like the fact of the matter is, like, regardless of whether it was a sponsored stream or not, everyone is visible all the time on the internet, and you can't expect things that you do that aren't sponsored to not impact what you might want to do that is sponsored.
Yeah.
That's just an absolute reality now. And I think, yeah, around like brands, how much do they trust creators and have to relinquish control because they're going with creators that have built something with their audience? And then for creators, like, do you want to be brand safe, or do you want to be, you know,
yep,
controversial? And maybe, you know, I have to say Aussie's audience has grown by like 80,000 subscribers in the last week. So
exactly. Trade-offs.
Maybe all publicity is good publicity. That's what they say, right?
Definitely. And all right, our final topic is going to be, a lot of you have probably seen a little clip of Justin Bieber walking into his apartment.
Yeah.
Or his house. So is it a house or an apartment?
It's an apartment. It's in New York. So there was a clip that went viral on TikTok and social media in general this week, and it was Justin Bieber walking into his New York apartment, and the door to the apartment was flanked with fans, and a lot of them, of whom, were all asking for photos. He paused and incredibly politely said, "This is my home. This is my safe space. Appreciate you, but I will not take a photo here."
Yeah.
And I think it was interesting seeing the response. I think it was on the whole pretty hot positive. Like, most people respected the fact.
I think I didn't see anything negative.
Yeah, but I think it kind of begs talking about maybe some of your experiences on a much smaller scale around concept of privacy when you're a celebrity, and to what extent do you opt to give that up versus what, you know, what's reasonable?
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought it's super, super interesting, this, and I feel like weirdly YouTubers experience it a lot more relative to their audience size, experience it a lot more intensely
than
mainstream celebrities.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's the very personal nature of the way that YouTubers interact with their audience. I feel like celebrities
feel very accessible.
Yeah. Celebrities are aspirational but not relatable. And they're also not exactly kind of contactable at all. You know, like, they're quite distant. Whereas YouTubers, the vast majority of the time, are very, very, very kind of contactable, relatable. And it really is kind of like feeling like you're chatting to a friend. And a lot of the time they have a lot more like one-on-one connections with their fans. So because of that, I think it almost creates this misconception that, oh, well, I guess it's totally okay if I invade their personal space as well then.
Yeah.
And I know, for example, I'm lucky enough, it hasn't really happened at where I currently live. But when we're in the Click House and that address was like known and public, oh my God, we would have so many people come by. We would have, the doorbell would be ringing all the time. We literally had to disconnect it, I think, at one point. And kids would like leave things outside the door. And I've always actually had this kind of thing where, you know, like, as much as I would hope the parents would teach kids better, about what behavior is okay and what is not, I can understand if I was a kid, knowing my favorite YouTubers lived like a couple of blocks away, wanting to be like, oh, like, let's go past their house. And like, if we run into them, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Totally get it. You kids, you haven't fully learnt that social kind of norm yet and respect. But the ones that blow my mind are when the parents do it.
Yeah.
Like, the kids go to the parents, be like, oh my God, my YouTuber lives here. Can we go to their house?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Turning to your kid being like, hell yeah, let's
go. Doorbell of someone that you don't know.
Yeah. Go to their like a private home and private space.
Yeah.
And there are some, like, the craziest one that I remember is, we once had a mum come to the door at the Click House. And I think it was like, she confronted one of us when we were walking out the door to like put the bins out or something. Mm. So it wasn't like they rang the doorbell and we answered it. We were like walking out to put the bins out. And she was like, oh, hi, I'm from Make-A-Wish and we have one of our sick kids in the car who would love to meet you.
Oh, and my I remember this.
Yeah. And I was like, no, you're not. And she was like, no, I am. I was like, we literally work with Make-A-Wish regularly. We had someone from Make-A-Wish come through like 2 days ago. We talk to them. We're constantly in conversation about who they are, if they want us to do anything. Like, we're always working with Make-A-Wish. you're not from Make-A-Wish. And she's like, oh. And anyway, this woman, long story short, fully lied about her child being terminally ill to try and completely messed up. But it's just an example of the ridiculous extremes some people will go to and the total disconnect from reality that some of these parents must have.
Actually, I mean, like, it's one thing to drive your kid to someone's house that you don't know, but to pretend that they're terminally ill and you're from Make-A-Wish so that you can meet your favorite YouTuber, like, it's just quite bizarre behavior, yeah, to say the least.
Very.
Yeah, not a fan. But I think, I think Justin did it really well. And I think he kind of follows a policy that I feel like most people do. It's like, if I'm outside of my home, yes, I appreciate I'm a public person.
Yeah.
Being a celebrity, having an audience comes with the gig. And like, that's fine. But you're allowed to still be a person, I think, and have some personal space. Yeah. And I feel like your home is one of those places.
Exactly. I don't know almost, I think it's very much just understanding that people are people. And just because someone's a celebrity doesn't mean they're also not entitled to having their own time. Mm. So for me, like, for example, there is, and almost everyone I know, there's not a single time where if you were to come up to me, if I'm walking through a mall or walking down the street and be like, oh, like Mizo, blah, 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 blah. Let's do whatever. Chat for a bit, grab a photo, whatever you want to do. So, so happy.
Yeah.
But if someone's clearly having like a private time, whether that's in their home or whether they're sitting down for dinner at a restaurant or anything like that. Like, I've had a lot of parents.
In the bathroom, you've said no to kids in the bathroom.
Yeah, that feels
weird. I'm thinking
weird.
About the two places you've said no. You've said no in the bathroom at an airport.
I've had kids follow me into toilets. And I was like this, I didn't say no, but I was just like, I would just make it very brief. They would like literally wait for me outside the cubicle.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, they're all like, Muse out. And I was like, hi, and wash
my like
hands
outside.
And
yeah, I think that's very reasonable. And you know, the only other place I've seen you say no?
What?
The 9/11 Museum in New York.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, let's wait till we get outside.
Yeah,
and
I
like,
did.
You know what?
Fair call.
Fair.
Yeah.
I was like, the right call.
And I didn't say no, but I said, hey, guys, like, we're almost near the exit. Why don't we, are you okay to wait a bit?
I think the right call.
Yeah.
I think time and place.
Yeah, time and place.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for that. I don't hold that against the kids, though. They weren't thinking.
No, like, I think the kids were like, oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you did. You took a photo with them as soon as you were outside.
Yeah, as soon as we got outside. Yeah.
I think
there's
homes,
balance.
Bathrooms, and 9/11 memorials, okay places not to take photos.
Yeah, maybe space.
Yeah.
Space or, yeah, cemeteries, lots of, there's a few socially.
There's a few places, like read the room.
But there is hope because a lot of the time, I think the ones where I see the best parents is like I if I'm out to dinner a lot and there'll be like another kid in the restaurant who clearly watches stuff. And a lot of the time the parents will like, kid clearly clocks me early on. I've sat down. I'm having dinner with someone. And almost all the time, unless the parents are literally leaving and they're like trying to encourage their kid to go over and say hi, they will almost always wait until like I'm done eating and maybe like have the bill. And then they'll come over and be like, oh, could I grab a photo?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of like little thing where there's always a time and a place and a way to make it happen politely. And I would actually always encourage you, if you see a YouTuber you know and they're just in like a normal social situation, go and say hi. It's
they will
so
say hi.
Good.
Yeah, I
love it. I love whenever anyone comes up to me and tells me that
you
they
did it to David Dobrik, no?
Yeah, I did.
You
oh my
did.
God. I will never miss an opportunity.
I think it's so funny. Like Elliot, we were in LA and we were outside a club and
as we were walking out,
David
Dobrik
was walking
in. Yeah, I
think you on him. You were like, you know what, dude? I fucking love your content.
Yeah.
And he was so chill. He was
and literally
amazing,
3 second
dude.
Interaction.
So
I was like, hey, dude, just wanted to say, love the content. He was like, oh, cheers, man. And then walked in. And I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Like I will never, if I see someone whose stuff I love, I will never not say cheers, dude.
And also like, don't underestimate how much they love hearing that too.
Yeah.
Like you're usually, unless you're in a bathroom, a 9/11 museum or at their home, you're probably not bothering them. They probably love it.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason they're doing that as a job.
And some people that, you know, like they might, you know, the length of the interaction might be what they're kind of not down for. You know, like I saw David was heading somewhere. So I wasn't going to be like, let's grab a photo and then let me tell you about my life story. But it's like, love the content.
Yeah, cheers. Read the room. Like, right. Maybe don't settle in for a 20-minute conversation, but like, tell someone that you really appreciate what they're putting out into the world. Not many people would hate to hear that.
What a lovely note to end on.
Guys, thank you so much for watching this week's episode of Watch Time. Love you lots. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.